Facebook.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As we continue, Nancy Talbot joins us. We're focusing on the frontiers of legitimate scientific crop circle research. No nonsense here. Trying to figure out what's going on. And after that, maybe try to assess what the cause might be. We're talking about the latest cutting-edge research.
I suggest that your listeners go to the X-ray diffraction study. All of this is written very clearly because I want to finish this thing about Dr. Reynolds and I. He then, unfortunately, had a stroke, and very shortly after his wife died, he died also. And this was before we had finished the paper. That's why I put the entire thing on the website, because I alone, and I'm not sophisticated, my educational background is not strong enough for me to expect Nature to publish a paper authored by me. With him gone and with no other clay mineralogist at that time available, the only thing I could see to do was to write up every bit of the work, which I did, and it's now posted on the BLT site, and anybody can read exactly what we did. All the graphs are there. All of the data is there, and people can examine it however they wish.
We will, by the way, in our forums, post a number of links. I already have a link in there in our question bank area to her site, to Nancy's site, but we'll provide specific links to each part of the research. So this way you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and get a feeling for what's going on.
I can read you the final, in the very beginning, you're going to see something that says study objectives, and it lists what we were trying to do. Then right below it, study results. Now, the last result was that because the temperatures needed, the 6 to 800 degrees C over a period of hours, to cause mica crystal growth, would have incinerated any plant material present, and because we know of no energy which can selectively affect soils to one degree and plants at the same locations to another, we suggest that we are observing a new and as yet undiscovered energy source at work. It does appear that heat is involved, but more research is needed to determine its precise nature. Now, the one thing we did do that we haven't talked about was we did take a number of control samples at the end of all this work because Reynolds thought that we ought to test the microwave theory. And so we took a number of controls, and we submitted those controls to differing amounts of microwave radiation. Some were exposed for only a very short period of time. Others were exposed to a much longer period of time. And the idea was to see if the microwave exposure would cause the changes that we'd actually found. And it did not. So, based on that, we have to rule out that microwave radiation alone could not have caused the changes in the soils.
Wow, I'm racking my brain trying to figure out how those changes could have been produced in those samples.
I think we don't know. And if you're talking to people of the caliber of Dr. Reynolds, if he knew of no energy capable of doing this, then I have a little hope for myself. I have to wait here until some huge scientific discovery occurs, or UFOs, if they were in fact the cause, show us all how they did it. You know, I don't know.
But now, the one thing here that's interesting, the crop circles always have very specific shapes, showing
some of them,
some of them. Do they all have this artistic bent that they have real definable shapes, or are some totally random?
Some are totally random, and when you say artistic, you have to remember that that is a personal, emotional response.
Well, how about symmetry, showing something that indicates intelligent control in the sense of the way they were designed?
There clearly are geometric consistencies in many of them. Nature, of course, produces geometry all the time. Don't forget, when you're thinking about this, the designs, let's say, in snowflakes. Don't forget about shells and the beautiful, you know, designs that you see in them. Think of for instance, you know. Roses. I mean, think of sunflower seeds, sunflower heads. Nature produces design all the time. We're used to it in flowers, in the shells, in the snowflakes. We don't think of anything unusual there. The fact is that we've never seen it in crop circles before, if they are a naturally occurring situation, the fact that some of them are geometric would not necessarily immediately indicate anything other than nature, some aspect of nature that we don't currently understand, at work. It's possible. I don't think it's all that likely, but it's possible.
So where does the work go from here? I mean, are you going to contact other materials experts and see if you can get somebody to possibly get a paper published, or are you just going to stay with having the data available for anybody interested enough to take it further?
Well, it just so happens that one of Dr. Reynolds' students at Dartmouth, who then went on to become a mineralogist at the USGS, Dr. Dennis Eberl, has contacted me, 6 months ago maybe now, because he had discovered the X-ray diffraction study online. He knew how brilliant Reynolds was because he had not only been a student, but he had co-authored a number of papers with Reynolds over the years. And he has offered his expertise to hopefully, if we can find another good crop circle and have enough money to get it properly sampled and all that jazz, that he would try to replicate the study and then, of course, write a paper. He's considerably younger than Dr. Reynolds was, and the hope would be that he would be just fine and survive the work, and we could get the paper written and then submitted for publication.
Now, let's just look at where we are now. So we have an unknown phenomenon. We don't know if it's natural or deliberately caused by some outside agency that's causing these crop circles to appear, not, of course, the ones that are done because people have nothing better to do with their lives, but obviously something that's appearing naturally or unnaturally, we don't know the forces that bring it about. How does the UFO research community regard any of this stuff?
Varies depending on who you're talking to. I think
we'll be talking about it tonight.
I bet you will. Some of the nuts and bolts UFO people have no interest whatsoever in crop circles. Some of them do. Some of them are aware of our work and are now trying to incorporate it into their understanding of the whole UFO phenomenon. What has happened? I spent the first 12 years or so I was involved in all of this, totally focused on the science. But then a very peculiar thing happened. I started to hear from one of our field workers in the Netherlands about a young man who knew somehow when and where the circles in his part of Holland, when they were getting ready to occur. He also apparently had witnessed a number of light phenomena in association with the appearance of the crop circles. In fact, one of his very early encounters, as reported to me, was that he was out on the dikes on his bicycle. This started when he was very young. And he observed a group of lights, light balls, rotating rather around themselves out over the field, fairly low. And this is in daytime. He got off his bike and started to walk down in between the fields. There's a little pathway there to get closer to the lights. One of them detached itself from the group, approached him, whirled around his head apparently, and knocked him out. When he came to, he was lying inside a brand new crop circle. This was one of his very first experiences, and I think it was the first time he'd actually ever heard the words crop circle. Anyhow, these reports had reached this guy in the Netherlands who did some field work for us, and he told me about it.
I'll tell you what, we're going to find out what he told.
Okay.
Nancy Talbot of the BLT Research with Gene and Chris in
the Paracast.
whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
If you're not prepared, get preparedexpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. Getpreparedexpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Over $200,000 in exhibitor giveaways. 1,000 packets of heirloom seeds. 1,000 one-year subscriptions to Global Incident Map. 1,000 trial issues of Bob Chapman's International Forecaster. 25 vials of Dr. Sheely's Bliss. 10 Sigma 3 5-day survival courses. Autographed books by James Wesley Rawls, Matt Stein, Julia Shoff, and Dr. Sheely, and plenty more. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Go to GetPreparedExpo.com. One day passes $10 at the door. Advanced weekend passes $15. At GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. Now, when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, the plot thickens.
It does thicken.
With Nancy Talbot.
Now we're
talking about thickening plots here with Gene and Chris and the Paracast. So in our last segment, in case you tuned in late, you're going to have to listen to the first part of the show because this is getting more and more fascinating. So let's talk about the thickening plot and where it's taken us.
Well, where we're talking about now is the idea that there is a consciousness involved, not just in the crop circle phenomenon, but in many of these other things that we call out-of-body experiences, remote viewing, poltergeist activity, hauntings, I don't care what you know, ET encounters, whatever. When I first heard about Robert, I really didn't pay any attention at all. But then in 1997, I think it was, and this is all on the page on the BLT website, there's a page devoted to Robert, BLTresearch.com/Robert. And down at the bottom of that page, you will see lots of individual reports about the scientific work and other work that I've been doing with Robert. So 1997 rolls around, and Robert and his sister, Robert is about 18 or 19, I think, at this time, and his younger sister, Madeline, are in Robert's bedroom on the second floor of a house that backs up to a farm field. And there are floor-to-ceiling glass doors that open out onto a small balcony. They were open. It was hot, I think. And suddenly, there appeared a big, glowing ball of light rotating in place directly over this balcony. Frightened the children considerably. They went running downstairs to get the parents. And when they came back up, the ball of light was gone. But there were burn marks on the eaves overhanging the balcony. And there were burn marks on the outside doors of the balcony. On the floor was a pile of white powder. The father at that time was manager of the local bank, the Robobank, and this is a middle-class family in a very nice home, not at all interested in this sort of thing. The father wanted this white powder analyzed. He wanted to know what it was. And they contacted the field worker, our field worker in Amsterdam, to see if there was any way that he could get it, you know, analyzed. And he contacted me, and I contacted our scientists, and we said, sure. And so the powder was sent to us, and Phyllis Budinger, the analytical chemist who does a lot of this work, did carry out an infrared spectroscopy work on the white powder. And it came back as being a very pure magnesium carbonate. Now, magnesium carbonate is not an unusual substance. It's in Pepto-Bismol, for instance, and a number of other things. It's also used in sports a lot nowadays. It was the purity level of the magnesium carbonate that was curious, and also the fact that it was not a magnesium oxide, which is what you would have expected had that been, let's say, a flare. You know, because flares are burning magnesium. But the result is magnesium oxide, not magnesium carbonate. So we had sent the report back to the family, and I was in Europe doing a tour, a lecture tour, and one of the lectures was in Amsterdam, and they came to meet me to say thank you for having done the work. And for the first time, I got to meet Robert and the rest of his family. It just so happened that that year, I had several lectures, but several days in between each lecture. And the father and mother asked me if I could possibly come and stay at their home for a couple of days so they could tell me more about these incredible things that were going on around their son. They were very concerned. They were very upset about it. And I did have a couple of days, so I agreed. I said, okay, I'll come. The very first night in their home, I was so pooped, I think I just conked out right away. But the next night, I had this funny feeling not to go to bed. Now, I'm a night person, and so I didn't really think about that as significant. I prefer to be up at night anyhow. I don't get up early in the day, and I just didn't take it too seriously. But I knew not to go to bed. And his parents, Robert...
You said I knew not to go to bed. How so?
I have no idea.
I can't go to bed.
Correct.
Okay.
And the parents, who are perfect hosts, would not go to bed either. As long as I was up, they were going to have to stay up too. Robert, by this time, had gone to sleep hours before. So had his sisters. And the two parents and I stayed up downstairs in the living room. We had a few lights on, but we were sitting at the back of the house with these floor-to-ceiling glass doors in a bow all across the back of the house, looking out onto this small garden behind their house. I had my back to the windows. I was sitting in a little chair with my back to the windows. They were both sitting facing the windows. And suddenly, at around, I think it was around 2 o'clock in the morning, I've forgotten exactly, but suddenly the father jumped up, and he's pointing his finger out these windows, saying, there, there, there. And I, of course, hadn't seen anything because my back was to the window. So he said there was a flash of light, a flash of light. They had apparently seen from upon occasion these flashes of light out there, and one had just occurred. So I turned my chair around, and we turned off all the lights downstairs, every single one. And then the three of us just sat there watching these windows. And all of a sudden, I started to feel this very strong tingling. I was sitting. It started at my waist, and it was around my entire body and my arms, and it slowly moved up my body, becoming more intense as it did so. It got to my neck area, and by then it was getting really intense then.
Did you feel that there was maybe a rattlesnake trying to climb up your body? Is that the sensation?
More like imagine putting your finger in an electrical socket.
In slow motion, yeah.
In slow motion and not quite so severe.
Oh, boy.
And I was cool with it for a while, but when it got to my neck, it was really getting strong, and I was scared. And I thought to myself, the hell with science, I'm getting out of here.
Now, I should point out before we go on that in one of your earlier appearances in the Paracast, one of our former co-hosts kind of ragged on you for dealing with Robert. But when you start reporting experiences yourself, it's not just believing somebody else, it's experiencing it and seeing the reality yourself.
Every single report on this, on Robert's page, on our website, reflects my personal experiences, dozens and dozens and dozens of them.
How many years now, Nancy? We're talking 15, 16 years.
Yeah, I've known him now 15 years, yeah. And I've been there every summer for 2-3 weeks, and I have never reported in English to the American public anything that I have not personally witnessed. I was very careful about that in the beginning because I heard stories, and they're so unbelievable, I didn't believe them. And it wasn't until I personally witnessed every one of these events that I began writing these things so that other people would know.
That's the point to clarify here. We want to clarify, Nancy. It is that you're not just believing somebody. You've experienced these things yourself, and it's not something they could have hoaxed, is it?
Well, this, you know, we'll get to that. You know, some stuff maybe, but I don't think all of it. At any rate, so the parents and I are sitting there, and this tingling thing starts. I get the feeling, uh-oh, I'm getting out of here.
And you know what? That's a great cliffhanger. It's like before the commercial on a TV show, I feel a tingling, I got to get out of here. We have Nancy Talbot with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, Camel Milk. Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and Camel Milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And Camel Milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant, and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We have Nancy Talbot of DLT Research with Gene and Chris. So she goes to Europe, meets this young man named Robert, and things start tingling. And we're not referring to having to go to the bathroom. It gets to be pretty strange. Tell us.
It's a lot more intense than that. Okay. Now you quit laughing and listen. So we're sitting there, and you know,
it's Chris's laughter, by the way.
I know it's Chris.
We have to blame him. You see, if you hear the laughter, I never laugh.
No, it's Candace. Candace is making me laugh.
Candace is a guest who happens to be with Chris right now at his secret location in Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, this is great, Nancy. I'm loving this. Boy,
I can pretty much guarantee you, Chris, that if I ever get your butt and take it over there with me, and you get to experience some of this stuff firsthand, I don't think you're going to be laughing.
Well, it's. I was laughing at Gene's questionable analogy. I'm not. Believe me, you've got me on the edge of my chair with what you're saying. It's just I was commenting on my co-host there.
But understand, by the way, if he falls off the chair, he'll just sue me for damages because I made him laugh.
I see.
Sorry, we didn't mean to interrupt, Nancy. Really, please continue. So you're feeling this intense sensation in your neck. You're about ready to just get the heck out of Dodge. And what happened?
The second that I had that idea to leave, and I was starting to get out of my chair, the tingling stopped immediately, and this incredible light show then took place in that backyard. There were blobs of light that were coming down from the sky and bouncing along the brick walkway. There were huge balls of light just hanging there. There were flashes of light. There were little balls of light. It was like a damn three-ring circus.
So were these plasma balls, do you think? Was this?
I have no idea what they were. I mean, it was so busy and so active and so varied and yet contained completely within, I would say, a 12-foot wide by maybe 16-foot deep area. It was very location-specific. But, I mean, you didn't know where to look. It was like boom, 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 boom. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, my mouth was open. I'm looking, thinking, what in the world? And then all of a sudden it stopped. Nobody said a word. I'm trying to process this in my head. You know, what did I just see? And then the tingling started again. And again, it moved up my body fairly slowly. And again, it became very intense. again, I got scared and thought, okay, I'm leaving. And boom, at that instant, it stopped again. The light show started. This happened five times at least. We're not sure whether it was five times or six or seven, but at least five over a period of about 11 minutes with absolutely nothing happening for a couple of minutes, then the tingling, then the light show. Then it would stop, and the whole thing would start again.
Too bad she didn't have a cell phone with a camera. It was a little too far back in time, but, man, to get that on tape.
I don't have a cell phone, no. It was too stunning. If you had been there, if you had been actually one of us, you would have, it simply was so stunning. The idea of, the most I could do, and what I did do, when I realized that it was going to stop, the tingling was going to stop every time I got scared, I became a little less afraid. And so I stood up and I walked right to the inside of the glass doors where I could see up into the sky. I was afraid, frankly, to go outside. I got as close to that window as I could get in the doors looking up. I was trying to see where this was all coming from. There was nothing. There was nothing up there. Just suddenly these blobs or balls would appear. They would stay. They would hang in the air. They would fall. They would bounce along the bricks. And the light flashes like a million flash bulbs going off, too. All of this intermixed. When the last event occurred, here again, I don't know why I did this. I have no idea why I said this. I turned around to his parents, who were sitting there in stunned silence, and I said, well, that's it. It's all over. I have no idea why I said that, but it was all over. I then separated immediately the parents. I put the mother, I can't remember, I think I put the mother in the kitchen, left the father, who was quite frightened at this point, in the living room. And I asked them both separately, individually, there's a door in between, which I closed. I wanted to find out whether they had experienced the same thing I did, and I wanted to hear it separately. And it turns out that they both experienced, as I did, the tingling thing, and they both described seeing basically what I saw. So it appears that all three of us had the same experience.
Let me ask you a question here just to put this in a frame of reference, Nancy. Have you ever in your life, before meeting this young man, experienced anything like that?
Never.
And
never.
You can't think, and I certainly can't think, of anything in terms of a deliberate hoax that could have caused this kind of effect. Can you?
This was my first idea. I'm thinking, oh, my God, they've rigged the garden. It's rigged. So the next morning, as soon as this time I got up early, and I went out immediately to this little backyard, a lot of the light had seemed to emanate from three cedar trees that were planted close together about 8 feet, 6 feet back from the windows. So I immediately went to these cedar trees to see if I could find any wires or anything, you know, that would give me a clue. And there was nothing. But as I was standing next to the cedar trees, and this time I had my camera. I was using a film camera back then, and I had it with me because I'd been taking pictures of the house generally and some other things. And as I was standing next to these three cedar trees, the camera, it was on, but it was hanging by its strap. I wasn't even holding it. It suddenly started taking pictures by itself. And then a mechanical camera, all of a sudden it starts taking the pictures by itself, and it takes a couple of anomalies, which I have shown in many of my lectures. And then it was a 36 roll film at the last anomaly was number 19 on the film. It rewound itself entirely, leaving all the rest of those pictures, you know, blank.
Oh, I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, that's what happened. So this was my introduction to the more bizarre stuff that goes on, some of the more bizarre stuff that goes on around Robert. Now, in
some of the more bizarre stuff?
Some. And I mean the tip of the iceberg.
And now you mentioned there were anomalies on the pictures. What sort of anomalies appeared on those automatically exposed
shots? Big sort of pinkish, yellowish light balls with stripes around them is the best way I could describe it. Nothing, it didn't look like anything that was in the environment at all. I mean, it was simply an anomaly. And on Robert's page on the BLT site, you will see a whole report about light phenomena photos.
Right.
And there is a huge range of these. He had been from about the time that he started knowing about the circles, he was capturing unusual light phenomena on his camera. In those early days, some of it was what you would, he called them light balls. Other people have called them orbs. And in the very early years, many of them looked like that. But since then, it's so much more dramatic now than what was happening in those original photos. It's nearly unbelievable. But
Nancy, I did not report
any of this until I'd observed it firsthand.
Right. Well, before we go on, and we do have some ground to cover here, before we go on, I want to get back to your examination of the backyard area. Now, you mentioned that the kids had had an event occur which had left behind some of this this magnesium carbonate.
Carbonate, yeah.
And left scorch marks. Now, with all this type of what it sounds to me like electrical or some sort of high-energy events that were occurring in a very small area, did you find any evidence of heat, of scorch marks, any of this powder present? Do you feel that this may have been some sort of completely different apples and oranges type event?
I looked very carefully for any evidence of burning anywhere throughout the whole area. Saw nothing. Nothing in the trees. No wires. No, nothing that didn't belong in a normal garden. You know, flowers and trees and stuff like that. I saw nothing. And I don't know.
All these light balls, were they all the same color? Did you notice any sort of spectrum shifting, objects moving, colors changing?
I'll tell you what, we'll have the answer to that and many more questions coming up with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough Shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns, just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights, only $12.95. Cook Anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
As often happens on the show, Chris asks a question of a guest, but we have to hold the answer, give you a little bit of suspense. We're not going to keep you in suspense with Nancy Talbot much longer. Nancy, you heard Chris's question. What's the response?
He wanted to know about the colors and all that jazz, right?
Yeah.
The basic color of the light phenomena that day, that night, was white, but there were diaphanous, bluish, huge light balls simply hovering in various places. Some of the flashes were also bluish, but the more dense, brilliant white, smaller balls, as well as these blobs, it was almost like you're pouring liquid mercury or something out of the sky. They were brilliant in color, and they would bounce along, leaving trails on the bricks on the patio.
Wow, bizarre.
And then disappear, you know, then be gone. So I mean, it's just one of another of, I mean, there's so many of these things that you really have to read all these reports to begin to get a clue as to the range of events.
I have a question I'd like to see answered before we go on. And that is, all right, these sound like singular events which are focusing on a specific person. Is there a history in the paranormal field of other people creating and or experiencing similar effects?
He's the only person in the world that I know of or have ever heard of who knows when and where the circles in his area are occurring. And also knows usually exactly what they're going to look like. I don't know of anybody else in the world.
No, that is standalone. Also, later on, some of the photographic images that showed up on his camera and many other people's cameras is kind of reminiscent of a guy in the 70s named Ted Serios, who was able to project thoughts and images, mental images onto film. But I might be getting ahead of ourselves here. Where would you like to take this? Because you mentioned that you have done some scientific work on some of the...
I wanted to point out, just because this will help people who think I cannot possibly be telling them the truth about this other stuff. In 2007, there were a number of crop circles which occurred at a place I've called Woodenhead. It's actually Buschenhoft, and a loose translation of that is Woodenhead. And the reason I use it, I'm making fun there. The farmer who was using that field in 2007 is a man who lives in Hooven, where Robert's home at the time was. And this man's fields had been hit many times with crop circles, and he hated them. He did not like it one little bit, and he accused Robert of making them, and he accused Robert's father of making them, and refused to think that there could be any other possible answer. This particular summer in 2007, that farmer decided to lease another piece of land in addition to his farm in Hooven, as farmers often do. And he had leased this property in Buschenhoft to grow an additional crop. It's very strange, but every crop circle that summer, I think almost every crop circle that summer, happened in that field.
It followed him.
Robert had no idea that the farmer had leased other properties. He knew nothing of this.
So the phenomenon followed the farmer to his newly acquired fields.
That is what it sounds like.
Oh.
At any rate, in that field that summer, there were a number of witnesses to totally amazing events. The white powder appeared repeatedly in these crop circles. And just so people know this, if they read the June 2007 Woodenhead report, they will see that not only did American scientists examine the white powder, I found a guy, a material scientist in Amsterdam, who also examined the white powder. All of us came up with the same answer, this very, very pure magnesium carbonate. In addition, in 2007, in that field, Robert physically disappeared in front of several witnesses' faces. A red ball of light suddenly appeared. Robert disappeared. He then subsequently, some 30 seconds or so later, reappeared in another whole part of the field where he had been standing. Was a brand new crop circle, again with the white powder in it.
Let me clarify, he disappeared for 30 seconds.
That appears to be the case.
Right, he vanishes from view. It's like beaming from one area to another.
I mean, I don't know what the word is to call what happened, but he just disappeared. He blinked out.
Well, I'm kind of using the Star Trek terminology since we're all steeped in Star Trek. But so, you get the sense.
Again, the point is that with these highly anomalous events, there were multiple cases of the white powder appearing again. It was sampled immediately. It was subjected to analysis by multiple scientists. In every case, we get back very pure magnesium carbonate.
Now, the question, of course, would be, where in nature do we see a comparable substance?
You don't. And I'm getting to that now.
Okay.
In the July 2010, there was another event that involved the white powder. And this time, I pulled out every stop I could. We carried out the FTIR, which is infrared spectroscopy work, ICP-MS, which is inductively coupled plasma mass spectroscopy, and Dr. Eberl, God bless his heart, did an X-ray diffraction analysis of the same white powder. We were able conclusively, without any question whatsoever, to establish that this material was 99.99% pure hydromagnesite, or magnesium carbonate, and that it was synthetically produced. This is not a naturally occurring substance. At that purity level, it was Dr. Ebel's very clear conclusion that this was synthetically produced.
Now, is there a place there where we synthetically produce a substance of this sort for industrial purposes?
I'm sure in some of the bigger cities there could be labs, yes.
But it's not something that's just going to show up in a field.
Well, it costs a whole bunch of money, number one. When it's that pure, the amount of it that we've recovered would cost in U.S. dollars well over $7,000. Robert he does not leave the area in which he lives. He's never been to these major cities. He doesn't like to be around large numbers of people for various reasons. And he doesn't have the money, even if he could get to one of these places. If somebody else is producing this material, you have to explain how do they know when a new crop circle is occurring so they can get there before any of the field workers, you know, deposit this material, leave no traces whatsoever. And if they're doing this consistently, you know, they've got to have the money to be able to be buying something that costs this much money. Why would they be doing it? And then we also have to deal with the fact that the white powder has appeared inside Robert's locked home repeatedly. And this I have not written up yet, but there have been a number of cases where I think it's called apports, where something physical appears out of the air. Is that called an apport?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, in multiple cases of physical objects, which did not exist in the home previously, have been present, covered with the white powder. and with burn marks on the inside areas of the windows. The windows, by the way, don't open. These are the way they're built. They don't open at all. And the father has got the doors to the house locked every way, which way to Sunday. When he goes to bed at night, that place is locked up like Fort Knox. How in the world these objects could appear inside the house, again with this exact same material, this white powder, even if you can explain it in the fields, if you could come up with the idea that, okay, somebody is watching Robert very closely, somebody somehow knows also when a new circle is happening, even when he's right in the field. Remember, he's been right in the field with witnesses when the white powder has appeared. And nobody has seen anybody. Somehow this person would be doing all of that and also has somehow or other managed to know when, you know, an object, two butterflies is one of the things that happened, have appeared inside Robert's home covered in this white powder also. What Dr. Eberl said, he did a search on the Internet, and it was kind of interesting. He said that he had discovered several recent scientific papers examining the possibility that hydromagnesite, which is what this material is, might be used in capturing and storing. So it's a process called sequestering of excess CO2, carbon dioxide, in the atmosphere.
Well, that will help with global warming, I guess. We'll
exactly.
Have to, exactly. We have Nancy Talbot with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNlive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNlive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNlive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.